The scripture reading today will be Acts chapter 10, 44 through 48. You can find that on your pew Bible if you're following along on page 1339 on the giant print. The next one we'll read is Acts chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. We just turn the page and we'll be right there. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. Peter asked, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they?" He directed that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited Peter to stay for several days. Now Acts 12, 6 through 11. The night before Herod was going to bring Peter's case forward, Peter was asleep between two soldiers and bound with two chains, with soldiers guarding the prison entrance. Suddenly, an angel from the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the prison cell. After nudging Peter on his side to awaken him, the angel raised him up and said, "Quick, get up." The chains fell from his wrists. The angel continued, "Get dressed, put on your sandals." Peter did as he was told. The angel said, "Put on your coat and follow me." Following the angel, Peter left the prison. However, he didn't realize the angel had actually done all of this. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. After leaving the prison, they proceeded the length of one street when abruptly the angel was gone. At that, Peter came to his senses and remarked, "Now I am certain that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod and from everything the Jewish people expected." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jeff. So I want to give a little recap about what we discussed last week in our series. We talked about salvation and transformation. Salvation comes when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we repent of our sin and believe in the glorious resurrection that gives us the gift of eternal life. And so when we accept this gift, when we fully accept God's grace in our hearts, it begins a process of transformation within ourselves. We begin this process of becoming new people in Jesus Christ. As I mentioned in the children's message, we put away those things that draw us away from Christ and put on those things that draw us closer. And that's a process that's called sanctification. When we become more like Jesus, when we seek to live out the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That is the rubric by which we understand how well we are maturing and growing in Christ. But now that we've talked about that, now that we've talked about what it means for us to receive salvation and begin that process of transformation in our lives, I want us to think about the next stage. When we've been transformed by Christ, when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that means after that we are called to spread the gospel far and wide. We are called to be a people of harvest and deliverance. Harvest is a word that is used to talk about bringing others into relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to sing at the end of our service, "Bringing in the Sheaves." Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And that's what the apostles did. They received the power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and they were sent to share the gospel message for any who were willing to hear. Peter started preaching to the crowds and those who gathered there at Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to believe on that day. Peter then healed a lame beggar at the temple gate, and he created an enormous scene as a result. And so between Peter preaching, between what happened there with the Jewish council, 5,000 people came to believe as a result. So the movement was spreading quickly. The high priest and the other Jewish officials were afraid of losing their jobs and losing any power that they had amassed, so they were worried about this. And they wanted to do all that they could to stop this movement. But no matter how hard they tried, they could not stop the movement of God. They could not stop what was already taking place. In Acts 4, verses 18 through 20, it says, "So the high council called them and ordered them not to speak at all and teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than God, you must judge, for we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard.'" Peter and John stood boldly in the name of Jesus. They stood boldly about this gospel message that they could not keep to themselves. They cannot keep from sharing the message that Christ is the way to salvation, and people need to hear it desperately. It changed their lives, as the gospel of Jesus Christ has changed all of our lives too. Because of this gift, we will never be the same. We have been delivered from the power of sin and have been transformed in the power of Christ. And so they know this movement cannot be contained. More and more people are coming to believe, and their passion and conviction is infectious. After Pentecost, 3,000 came to believe. After the miraculous healing of the lame beggar, 5,000 came to believe. If I'm doing my math correctly, that is 8,000 people who up to this point have come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. That's more than the population of Bridgeville and Greenwood combined, isn't it? Pretty sure. It's quite a few people. No matter what the high priests say, the fire has already started. The cat's out of the bag and Pandora is out of the box. The movement has started because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in their hearts, and it needs to start there first and foremost. And the reason why the Holy Spirit is catching on, the reason why this movement is spreading, is because of two reasons. The first reason this movement is spreading is because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because of the gift of the Spirit falling down upon them, receiving the power of God, they cannot contain that power. That's the first reason the movement spreading is because the people have caught the Holy Spirit. And the second reason the movement is spreading is because they are doing good works in Jesus' name. And we are called to do the same, to spread the gospel, to do good works in Jesus' name. It tells us in Galatians 9, verses 9 through 10, "So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, or doing good works. For we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever you have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith." Those are beautiful words, aren't they? That we are called to never cease doing good works for the Lord. Because it is through those good works seen in us that others will come to believe. First and foremost, it starts with us receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and being open to it and being faithful to renewing ourselves in that gift through prayer and worship and studying God's Word. But secondly, we are called to go out of these four walls, to do good for others in the name of Jesus, and that will continue this movement. That will keep the fire spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. So now that brings me to our scripture lesson this morning. There were some barriers that the apostles had to overcome to keep this movement spreading. There were some reservations that these apostles had on their own that they needed to overcome. You see, initially, the apostles believed that this gift of the Spirit, this gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, was only meant for those who were of the Jewish faith, those that already had the background of the Old Covenant. But God was continually revealing to them that this movement needed to spread to everyone. It needed to be a movement both for the Jewish converts, but also for the Gentiles. God, time and time again, revealed this to the apostles. In Acts 10, verses 44 through 46, it says, "While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God." So the Holy Spirit fell on not only those Jewish converts that the apostles thought should receive the gift, but it also fell on the Gentiles too. And it confirmed what they needed to know all along. And Peter said in those second verses, 47 and 48, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and they invited him to stay for several days. And so between the vision that Peter had on the roof in previous verses, and now the Gentiles receiving the gift of the Spirit, he had to change what he initially thought about sharing the gospel to the Gentiles. Everyone is to receive this gift, regardless of their background and where they come from. Peter had to be delivered from his previous way of thinking to embrace the work that was being done in Jesus' name. Sometimes we have to break away from those things that are holding us back from being fully used by God. There are barriers that exist in our lives that keep us from being fully used by God. And I want us to think about that. What are the barriers that exist in your life that keep you from being fully used by God? And I want to put a pin in that for just a moment, because we're going to talk more about those barriers in just a minute. But I want us now to jump to Acts chapter 12. I want us to go to Acts chapter 12 because this is a lesson about deliverance. And so let me share with you a little bit of background about why Peter is in prison. And so it says here that many people are coming to believe as a result of this movement. It's spreading. And as I said, these high priests, this council is not happy about this movement spreading. And so they don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And so they're trying to do everything they can to contain this movement. And so now the apostles are paying the true price of the work that they're called to do. So let's take a look at what's happening. In Acts 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And this was during the festival of unleavened bread." So now the real horrific consequences of them standing boldly on their faith are being realized. James, the brother of John, has now been killed with a sword. And Peter is being taken into prison. And so it says here that something miraculous took place for Peter, didn't it? In verses 4 and 5 it says, "When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him." So what word was used here? They prayed what? Fervently to God for him. So great miracles take place when we pray fervently to God. And so it says here in verse 6 that it felt like a dream, felt like a vision. It was almost comical how this breakout took place. It's like something you'd see in a cartoon. In verse 6 it says, "That very night, before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers." So can you imagine this? Peter was here in the middle, and two soldiers were beside him, and he was snoozing. And the soldiers were there, supposedly keeping watch. And then an angel of the Lord came. And it says in verses 7 through 9, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him and said, 'Get up quickly.' And the chains fell off his wrist." Can you imagine? Just like that, the chains fell off. The angel said, "Fasten your belt, put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. And he didn't realize what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought it was a vision. So all this for Peter is like a dream. He can't really believe it. It's like he's in a haze. In verses 10 and 11, it says, "After they passed the first and second guard that came before the iron gate leading into the city, it opened for them of its own accord. And they went outside and walked along a lane when suddenly the angel left them. And Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting.'" God broke Peter out of prison through an angel. I can't explain it. I don't know how it took place. It doesn't tell us exactly how. Maybe he made Peter invisible. Maybe he just put those guards to sleep. It's not exactly clear. But nonetheless, the miracle took place. And it happened because the people of God were praying fervently. Miracles take place. Deliverance takes place for all of us if we pray to God fervently. And so, I want everybody to take a look in your bulletin. Okay? And do you have one of these? When you have it, I want you to hold it up. Everybody's got one. We're not voting on anything. And just, you're going to know what it is. Okay. So, every one of you have a chain, okay? This is the link to your chain. And you all are going to have homework. You're a smart group, so I know you can handle homework, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to take your chain and you're going to pray over it this week. And I want you to think about a barrier that you have in your life from fully serving God, from you fully giving your heart over to Him. I want you to think about a barrier that you have. Maybe it's a sin that you're wrestling with. Maybe it's an addiction of some sort you're trying to overcome. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you need to give over to God and you're just not ready to do it yet, but you need to do it. Maybe it's hatred in your heart over something, anger or a grudge that you're holding against someone else that's chaining you and keeping you away from fully embracing God's love and forgiveness. So I want you to take your chain, and I want you to pray over it this week, and I want you to bring it back next week. Can you all do that? Can you hold on to your chain for 1 week? You all can do it, I know. And what I want you to do is I want you to bring it back next week, and you're going to write one word on it that kind of signifies what you're overcoming, what you're being delivered from. And what we're going to do is that next week we're going to have several staplers in here, and we're going to staple all of our chains together, okay? All of our links together. Y'all have probably done that in kindergarten or sometime. You can figure it out. There's a lot of teachers in here that can help you, I'm sure. So we're going to bring them together, and then at the end of our service, we're going to break them. Does that sound like a plan? Symbolize the barriers that we can overcome with the help of God. The thing that we want to give over to the Lord. And there will be an opportunity next week for those that feel led to come to the altar and to pray. Give whatever it is over to God. You're going to have that opportunity. But that's my assignment for you this week, is for you to pray. Pray over your chain. Pray about that one thing you need to give over to the Lord and be delivered from. And be ready and be prepared to let go of it. As Elsa says, you need to let it go. So that way you can live into the fullness of the love of God. So church, are you ready? Church, are you willing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a God of restoration. You are a God of harvest and deliverance. And so, oh God, there are burdens in our lives. There are things that we know that we need to give over to you, whether they be a sin, whether they be a grudge or anger, whether it be, God, an addiction of some kind, something that, God, we've been wrestling with that need to give over to you, and we've just not done it yet. God, may this be the time. Lord, help us to pray fervently over our chains. To pray fervently, expecting a miracle, expecting a blessing. Because you, O God, are a God of transformation. You are a God of miracles. That you break those barriers for us so that we might fully serve you. That we might fully give our heart to you. That, O God, we might be restored by the power of your love. That we might be leaders that share your love with others. That others may be restored and transformed as well. So God, help us to be fervent and faithful in our prayers. And may us be willing together to break these chains, to break these barriers, so that we might more faithfully and more strongly serve you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Better not see your chains in the pews. I want you all to hold on to them. Hold on to your chain. Bring it back next week.